Well, this talk, I was given the title, How to Raise Courageous Children, or Raising Courageous Kids. And I was asked to speak on that, and I said, okay, you know, I'm willing. I'm wondering why you chose me. Are you sure I'm the right one? You know, I said, I have one kid who wants to fight ISIS and, you know, show them what fools they are. I have a kid who's anxious and wanting to know what time dad left work because maybe something bad could have happened on the way home. And I have one who's kind of in between. So I wasn't sure if I was the right one. I said, maybe you want someone who's got kids who have traveled the world and are doing risky stuff. Have you talked to Deshwa? You know, and, I wanted to reframe the talk a little bit, and that's why I retitled it, Raising Courageous Kids or Raising Kids Who Can Face Fears. Because I think that, especially as your kids get older, you will find out that our kids are all made very specifically, very different. And we generally try to parent them the same way or similarly. But the older they get, the more we say, wow, God has really made this one different than that one, naturally. You've discovered this in your marriage, you know, already. You thought you were a little different, but haven't you found that you're, like, really different, right, as time goes on? So I think the question tonight, I guess, is, are there things that we should be doing to raise them all to be courageous? Do we want that kid who's always ready to rappel off the mountain? Is that the goal? Or do we want all of our children to be capable and able to face whatever fears they face in their own little world, in their own way? And I think it's the latter. So I thought a good place to start the discussion was to talk about I forgot something. These are my three kids. I kind of like to see what a speaker's kids look like. And some of you are laughing because it's not exactly what they look like right now. But aren't they cute? You can do the next one. This is a little more recent. They get big really fast. So that's just because it's fun to see who this woman is. I thought a good place to start was to talk about a few of the bad reasons to raise brave kids. That's coming up. That's fine. One bad reason to try to raise brave kids is because brave kids are more valuable than ones that aren't brave. That is not true. The kid who is willing to, that you'll pull your hair out with, who is daring and determined and sometimes too brave, has no greater value in life than that sensitive soul who is not that way. That's a bad reason. A second reason that is not a good one is that it teaches them they can do anything they set their mind to. If they decide what they want to do and who they want to be and don't let anything get in the way, that's a bad reason. Except that sounds pretty good, probably, because that's how I was parented, and it's a good message, kind of. We do want our kids to be confident and to go for it, but it's not entirely biblical, and I'll get into that a little bit. There's a fine line, I think, between pretty good parenting philosophy and what I think how the Bible calls us to be courageous with our kids. And this topic also is interesting tonight because, like everything that we want to pass on to our kids, don't you find that it's a lot about us, that you're learning in the process, and a lot about what we want to pass on to our kids in terms of courage is also about having courage, and mothering is not easy. It's an interesting exercise. If you were to get on Pinterest and look up the word courage, you're going to find a lot of inspirational messages. I liked this one. There's a superhero inside of all of us. We just need the courage to put on the cape. I like that lady. That is good. I like that message. You can do the next one, Ann. Here's another one. You can never cross the ocean unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Another good one. A lot of them talk about our determination, and they talk about trying harder, never quit, take a leap of faith, and those are all good things. But I don't think that's what God is calling us to do when he calls us to be courageous. I was raised with some messages that I'm very thankful for because they originated from a family who loved me very much. They told me I could do anything I wanted to do, and there was nothing I couldn't do. The mantra that I heard on a regular basis was, it's all a matter of attitude. And I would say a lot of life is a matter of attitude. That is a great place to come from. However, we're altering that slightly in our parenting. It's a good thought, but we are looking at the biblical message about courage and the worldly one about courage. And these are all great. They're good. And maybe they might even motivate us to do that thing that we're hesitant to do. When it comes to teaching our kids courage, I think we need to look more closely at what they're putting their hope in for that courage. Because at some point, the chutzpah that's down inside may not be there. What if you have that child who, when he reaches down deep to do that hard thing, doesn't want to do it? Is that the end of the story? When we boil down the world's model of courage and the biblical one of courage, there are two big differences. The world's focuses on me, on my determination, on my strength. If I don't have enough, then maybe your strength as my friend or my resourcefulness to read more about a topic, my ability to train harder, my ability to get more education, whatever. We are reaching to us. The biblical model of courage seems to have next to nothing to do with us. I wonder if we looked at our kids through God's eyes in a difficult situation. Do you think he'd be saying, just dig deeper and believe in yourself? I don't think so. Let's look at a biblical perspective on courage. You know the story of Daniel. You remember and probably have a cool children's book with little cute lions in it. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and he, when he besieged Jerusalem, he got his officials to bring in some of the young Jewish boys, and he had them fed the best of foods from his table, including Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. The king was looking for them to become his advisors, and he gave them the best of everything and wanted to groom them to do so. This violated what Daniel understood to be part of how they should live, and he requested that they not eat the king's food, but they eat, in that case, fruits and vegetables, and they ended up being healthier and stronger looking. Nebuchadnezzar went on to have great power. He had a dream, and Daniel was able to interpret it. He moved Daniel into a position of power and authority, and then he was set up, and he and told that he should not worship the one true God, or he would be thrown in the lion's den, and you all know the outcome. You remember what he said. He was one of the best examples, maybe even for kids, other than the goriness, of courage in the Bible. He had confidence, not in himself, but entirely in God. And he understood the consequences, and he did what he did anyway. That is courage. We talk about David. That is a great story for kids. Going up against the giant, from all appearances, that was a very foolish thing to do. He was not trained as a soldier. He was trying to do something that the Israeli army could not do. David triumphed, not because he had any clue what he was doing or he had the strength or anything, but because he trusted in the Lord. That's a biblical account of courage. I think when we're talking to our kids, we are tempted to talk about what we can do. And I'm not saying that we never do that. I frequently have said, you can do that. But when it comes to the trials and the real confidence at age 3 or 15 of what they're putting their hope in, it's an interesting contrast between what the world says and what the Bible says. You guys know Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is one of the most quoted courage verses. You can buy a t-shirt with it. You can get a plaque with it. But we don't quote Joshua 1:8, the verse behind it, quite as much. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, being careful to observe all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And then it says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Following, focus on my word, know it, meditate on it day and night, observe all that is in it, and you will be successful. It then says, be strong and courageous. But we take out that strong and courageous and kind of forget God's really given us some great instructions on how to live. Again, I should have said at the beginning, this is kind of an e-mom's talk because it's kind of hard to talk about courage in three-year-old, but I do for three-year-olds, but I do think it translates as we're thinking about courage and we're talking to those five-year-olds, what we're putting our focus on. Let's see. I want to say that last verse was not a salvation verse. It's definitely a how-to verse, how to live. Be strong and courageous because you're living the way that I've told you to live. We'll be imperfect. We'll mess up. But he's given us a clue about the way to live. And oh, if we could pass it on to our kids really effectively and make them learn it, oh, their lives would go so well. If we could live that way ourselves, meditate on his word and live that way. We don't tell our preschooler not to touch the stove because we think they will be better people or more righteous. We do it because they will have a better life if they just don't touch that stove. We don't tell our sixth graders not to take vengeance against that person who was mean at school because it will make them look good. We do it because we know they'll be happier and they'll have a better life. If they don't harbor bitterness. God's rules, our kids need to know likewise, are not there to catch us, they're there to help us. So nowhere does it says, believe in yourself and you can do anything. We never find God saying, your obstacle may be big, but you can overcome the world. I don't know that verse. There is no verse that says, let her who has a superhero inside of her sweat it out until there's nothing left to give. And then you will have life and have it abundantly. I haven't read it. It's all about him. We like messages of determination, which is a good trait. And we have to look to the perfect father to figure out what message we imperfect parents need to be passing along. Depending on our own strength, comes pretty naturally to us. That's what we do every day. It's hard. It's a habit that's hard to learn to trust in the Lord instead. There's a couple of verses. These are not on there. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Psalms 27, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. It's funny that be strong and take courage is wedged between two wait for the Lord's. That's patience. That's not always there on my part. On your handout, this is the next line. You can click. Courage is only as valuable as the trustworthiness of the person or thing we are putting our hope in. If it's God, the outcome will be God determined. Trusting in ourselves can actually turn out pretty well sometimes, but not all the time. And it's not how God desires us to operate. If we're trusting in ourselves to reach a goal in a certain way and we work hard enough, we'll often get there. It doesn't mean it's an abysmal failure. The reassuring thing is that if God's in it and we fail, we pray beforehand for a situation. We ask God to cover it. We aim for the right stuff in it. However it comes out must be God-directed. There was a situation I had recently where I had to confront somebody that I didn't want to do it. There was the appearance of something that looked not appropriate, and I didn't know, and I really didn't want to confront the person. I lost sleep over it. I sweat over it. I didn't tell anyone about it because it wasn't appropriate, because I didn't know if it had happened, except for my husband. Prayed a lot. In the end, praise the Lord, it was fine. But when I got there, I was so thankful for the assurance that I knew God wanted that relationship whole. I knew God wanted what was best for all people involved. I knew He didn't want me gossiping about it. And I cared about the person I was concerned about, and it turned out fine. But I had to get to that point where I knew that it was in God's hands. It was fully covered. It wasn't me. I begged God for the right words, the right time, and everything else. That, I didn't want to be there at all. I didn't ask God for that situation. But I think that is the kind of situation where I was kind of forced into, but that's kind of how He wants me all the time, saying, God, take care of this for me, because this is not about me. I don't have the right words here. I don't know what to do. I don't even want to be here. I knew, however it turned out, it was prayed over. I was aiming to do the right thing and please God. And whatever happened, it was God determined. I think that it's easy for our preschooler to play outside with that difficult neighborhood kid when we are 10 feet away. And they know that they can depend on us to intervene should things go poorly. And it's easy for you and I to do something difficult when we have a lot of practice at it, or we're kind of good at it. But what about when your child has to go into an unknown territory without your help? Or when you have to do something you are very uncomfortable with and don't have the words or experience to trust your own abilities? Again, courage is only as valuable as the trustworthiness of the person or thing we're putting our hope in. And if it's me, or if it's your child, and we're teaching them to trust in themselves, it's not going to always turn out so well. All right, so how do we teach true courage to our kids, especially when they're in the preschool years? We show them examples. I think the dinner table is a great place to talk about whatever the day, things that came up, victories, failures. We're tempted to think of courage as something exhibited by the great superhero in whatever movie. But there's a lot of examples we come across day to day that are even better examples. There's the little girl your daughter may hear about at school who has cancer and has to go through treatments. That's worth talking about. Or the boy who goes to school every day with deformities and other kids are talking about him. Grasp those examples and talk about, I wonder how he feels. I had some gum surgery a couple years ago, and instead of the bruising manifesting itself here, I look like someone took a bat to me and didn't leave the house for a couple days, or maybe more. When I finally ventured out to Giant, I could only move half my face. I mean, it was really awful looking. And my brain worked okay. I was totally normal inside, but I looked totally messed up. And it gave me real pause to think about how people must feel who live with that every day, who are absolutely normal on the inside. It was a great thing to talk about at dinner. You know, there are people who face courage going to Giant. My daughter's best friend has a little brother who has life-threatening illnesses. It takes courage for that family, I think, to get through trips to the hospital month after month after month, not knowing the outcome. that is courage. It's not just the glory that we see on The Incredibles. Life takes courage, and pausing with our kids at dinner to talk about that kind of courage is of even more valuable. There's bombing going on all over the world, especially in the Middle East, and there's kids there. In an age-appropriate way, we can talk about that. They hear about it. I wonder how those kids feel. I wonder how they find peace. Who are they trusting in? That is courage, and sometimes we need to reframe it for our kids. Courage is being a friend to the kids that no one else likes, or that child who's socially awkward. It takes courage to ask that kid to sit next to you at lunch. And when your child does it, throw a party. Praise them. That is courage, far more than some of the other more glorious tasks they undertake. I would suggest that you ask God for situations you can live out with them where he has to show up or it won't turn out well. There will be school projects that they are intimidated by. Pray with them. Ask God to intervene there and show up. There will be ballet performances they're afraid to do. Pray with them about that. Boy Scout hikes. Ask God to show up there in a very real way so that your child knows that was God, that was an answer to our prayer. Mission trips down the road will be a great place for you to have courage. And your kids. In my case, it was more about me and my courage. But that's a great place. Sometimes God has to show up for things to turn out well. And when you ask God to protect your family and still put you in a position where he has to show up in order for it to turn out okay, you will all grow through it. Couple takeaways. Not because you don't have brains or we're in elementary school, but I like to be forced to take some notes, and we're going to spell out control on your sheet. Courage. C is for control. We don't have any. We only have influence. We want it so badly, mostly because we love our kids and we want to protect them. And we think that deep down, God is good and he's sovereign, but we really do know our kids just a little bit better than God. We know that's not true, but on an emotional level, it's hard to let go of. We don't have any. We need to give it up to God. Courage is the willingness to give up my control to God when I've done what he's asked me to do in this situation. O is for ongoing prayer. Model it. Courage is fear that it has said its prayers. Don't try to do courage without prayer. You'll be just gutting it out. That's more like gambling. You will have more opportunities than you know as the years go on. U is for understanding that we often have to step out without knowing what comes next. Most of the courage we'll have a choice to embrace or not is the courage to move forward in the face of fear. Otherwise, it's not really courage. Courage is being willing to do it when you can't see the outcome. That might be with your child in an illness. That might be going back to work. That might be any number of things. We want to control the situation, and most of the time, oftentimes we can. But there's a lot about parenting that we just can't see what comes next. We make the best decision we can. We inform ourselves as best we can. We ask God to bless it, and we step out. R, am I there? Yes, R is for remember what you know. While we don't know the outcome of so many scenarios of whether our child will be cold on the scout trip or whether they'll make the lacrosse team or feel rejection from friends or be comfortable in preschool, there are some truths we can cling to, and we have to because there's so many unknowns. For the believer, we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who trust in him. We know he loves us and he knows everything about us. We know he's sovereign. We know he's good. even if we disagree about what is good in the circumstances he allows. He knows the future. He's forgiving. He wants to be our strength and the source of it. He wants us to do good and love others. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are some things that we can cling to and that we know for sure. And in those times when we're feeling uncertain, we have to cling to what we know because there's so much we don't know. And I've had a lot of, the teenage years are exciting. There will be many examples of when you have to cling to God is good. God loves this child more than I love this child. Hard to believe, but it's true. God wants what is good for my child. God wants what is good for me. God knows the future. I've asked him to guide this child, and he will. He wants this child to walk with him closely. We have to cling to what we know. A is for adventures. Make them, have them, and include God in them. Don't be risk adverse, and I'm only saying that because I'm the speaker tonight. No, there have been times when I have had to be encouraged by my husband to be a little less risk aware. But those are some bonding experiences, and I mean, you have to put appropriate boundaries around things. But camp, hike, encourage physical feats and talent shows. Share those things with them. You have a lot to give. You've got experiences and talents and interests that your kid may not grow up loving, but expose them to it and enjoy it together. Point out the worst case scenarios to your kids when they are timid about doing something. Hopefully death is not on that list, but usually it's not as horrible as we make it out to be. Failure is okay. Teach them that failure is okay. If you fell flat on your face, it's going to be okay. We're still going to love you. We're going to be here, and you might discover something great. So many things to say about that. Dream with them. I tried not to ask my 4-year-old, 5-year-olds, what do you want to be when you grow up? That's a good question, but I tried to say, what do you think God wants you to be when you grow up? That kind of gives you pause. Wow, I don't know. I was thinking a fireman, but maybe he wants me to be an astronaut. Ask them. You will see God has wired them so differently. It's mind-blowing. Encourage that. Don't get in the way of that. I have a very competitive child. By the way, if you bump into my kids in the hallway, it is completely okay for you not to share that I've spoken to a group of 100 women about them. That would be okay. One child who is extremely competitive, and another who is not. And the extremely competitive older sibling was practicing basketball with the less intense one. And this was a couple years ago, Sarah, so she's come a long way. And he was, she was defending against him, and he said, Julia, you have to get in my face. You need to, you know, be more aggressive. And she said, what if I don't even know the person? No. He looked stunned, came in a very disappointed way, told me. And I, like, this was just awful. You know, what this is just the worst thing that could happen. And I said, you know, she has some amazing qualities that you don't. And there's a few of them that you could grow in. So, hey, let's just encourage, help her out, you know. But you will see that in your kids. They're just so different. We have some friends that are missionaries in Russia, and we went to visit them pre-kids. And it was not a pleasant place, and it seemed extremely dangerous, and I couldn't believe that they did that for years. And I made some comment to that effect, and she said, and she's very normal, she's not, you know, super spiritual, she said, there's no safer place than the center of God's will, and this is where we think God wants us. And I don't remember a lot, but that really stuck with me. I thought, wow, if God calls you to Russia, he's going to take care of you. And he did. And it's the same for us and our kids. G is for give. We have to give our kids to the one who loves them most over and over and over. And that takes courage on our part. Sending them off to kindergarten can take courage. Leaving them with another person can take courage. Going to a new school, moving, that can take courage. Just wait till you send them off overseas. I'm about to send one to what's the song we listened to? The Trace Atkins. I started tearing up and you weren't even playing the song. That was not good. There are many times when we have to give them to God, and I'm still learning it, but that takes courage. Lastly, E is for example. This is a truth that applies to any subject we're talking about. It's difficult to pass on what we're not modeling. Isn't that a bummer? So what do you want them to see? How can we show courage as moms in such a way that will inspire them to trust God in the hard things? We have to be living it in the everyday stuff and talking about that stuff. Sometimes I think about, and I'm trying to live out the living part, and maybe because I'm busy and running around, well, I'll tell you what it is. I have an 18-year-old who's about to leave, and I'm thinking, what have I not said? Are there any mentor moms who know what I'm talking about? You know, thinking, for so long I've been thinking, what do you say? And now I'm thinking, what have I not said? We've talked about that, right? Sometimes it's work to talk about what we think is inherently obvious. So we've got to talk about it. We've got to live it. You can talk to that 4-year-old in age-appropriate ways, telling her what you're trusting God for, how you're scared of a given situation, and you're trusting God for it. Tell her how nothing can get in the way if God's in a situation. We have talked a lot about God and about taking courage in Him and His promises and not our strength and determination. Some of you may not have that kind of relationship with Him or even know where to begin. Let me say, I cannot fathom the idea. I can't imagine being at this point in my parenting, and I'm not done at all, but I can't imagine being where I am and having not had Him. It sounds like a horrible idea. and I mean that sincerely. Your table leaders have been selected because they have this kind of relationship. If you have any questions about that, they'd love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you after this if you'd like, about how you can have that kind of relationship with God. I want to conclude with what I hope is your main takeaway tonight. Don't spend too much time in the next 18 years teaching your kids to be brave and determined if it means they'll miss out on trusting in Him for their courage. Courage is not rooted in our own resourcefulness, but it's rooted in Him. Courage is only as valuable as the trustworthiness of the person or thing we're putting our hope in. And if it's God, the outcome will be God determined. I have no idea who that girl is, but I chose that picture because it's helped me throughout my parenting years since I was in your spot to think about the finish line and where I wanted to be. You know, whether it be a meltdown or a decision about school or a character issue or whatever. This is some girl. I hope she's lovely since I'm using her as an example. But she is presumably traveled the world and she is trusting in God to take care of her somewhere far away. I've tried to keep the vision in mind of where I wanted my kids to land as I'm making all these teeny tiny, sometimes seemingly inconsequential day-to-day parenting decisions. So think about that in terms of what you're passing your kids on to put their hope in, put their trust in. He loves us more than we know how to love. He can kill giants. He can part the Red Sea. He uses people who are weak and broken and unlikely heroes. Those seem to be the kind that He chooses. And if we trust Him for our outcomes, we can be confident that the outcome will be okay. That's it. I was gonna ask for the question part, if that's okay.
What
time do I have? Do I have anything?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I was encouraged, and if I get nothing, that's fine, to see if anybody had any questions. It can be directly or indirectly or not at all related to courage. But if you'd like, let's do it. Anyone? Yeah. To teach them to trust in God and not themselves. Well, that was easy. Great. Okay, thanks for having me.